Before you got the check, did you have, I guess you knew it was coming. Did you have any idea how much it was for? Did anybody give you that information?
Not really. You know, they, on the website that they had put up, they talked about some kind of formulas, but I wasn't really going to take the time to try and calculate what it was. So I really had no idea. You know, I didn't think it would be much of anything, and obviously thought that it was a little bit funny just that I was getting a check at all. But I didn't know how much it would be, no.
So was this something, like, did any lawyers before, as the case was going on, did any lawyers reach out to you and say, hey, you're eligible for this, or was this just something you had going around and decided to join up?
Yeah, it was actually Twitter. I remember seeing on Twitter that there was a deadline for all former Division I athletes to go in and put their information in. And it had a link. I don't remember who posted the link. It might have been Darren Revelle or someone like that. I don't honestly remember. But so you just go on there and fill your information in. You know, I didn't know if I would get anything. I don't know how that process works and how they determine who gets what. But no contact with any attorneys or anything like that, no.
So why did you decide to join the lawsuit?
You know, that's a great question. You know, when I read that tweet, I texted some of the guys I played with just to see if they had done it, and they either had or were going to. And our communication, you know, kind of on a group text was, yeah, we might as well, you know, put our name in there for this if they're going to send us a check, you know, jokingly saying that we could, you know, spend it on a dinner together, something like that. You know, it wasn't something that we took overly seriously. And like I said, had no idea if we'd get anything, let alone the $171 that I got.
So after you got yours, have you reached out to anybody else and say, hey, I got mine, are we doing this dinner or what?
We have, yeah. I mean, like I said, it's kind of something that we've made light of, which was the purpose of me tweeting it out, that the premise of all this litigation and legal work that went into this for guys like me to get $170 and guys who played a little bit longer or more, or I don't know how they determined it, to get, I think the most I've heard is somebody got was like $2,000, which that's not nothing, but it's just the whole thing is kind of silly. You know, the only person that wins in these things is the attorneys, which was true in this case. You know, the last I read, of the $60 million that between EA Sports and NCAA that they had to pay out, I think a third of it went to attorneys, and then the remaining balance was split by some 25,000 athletes. Ooh. I mean, it doesn't really, you know, economically make a lot of sense to have gone through all the headache, it seems. But as with most litigation, the attorneys always win. So,
so was this, I mean, just going back to your playing days, was this sort of idea something that you heard other players complain about, or was this something that just the idea of having your likeness in a video game, was that something that anybody thought about, or was it just, you know, this is part of the deal?
You know, back then, and we're talking 10 years ago now, we never talked about getting paid for our likeness. It just wasn't a big topic of conversation yet. I really think that's come to light in the last 4 or 5 years as, you know, people of prominence like the Jay Billises of the world have made it a prominent issue for them. So back then, we just thought it was cool. You know, it was fun to play the NCAA 2005 and play as yourself. You know, that was I don't know if funny is the right word, but it was just such a cool thing, I guess, to be able to put yourself into the game, a game that you played growing up as a kid, and now you are playing as yourself, literally, not like a player you created, which you could obviously do sometimes in games. You could make a player, but this player was pre-made for you, you know, as you, and you could play as them. So it was more something that was fun for us at that time.
So if you guys are in the dorm room, who are there fights about who gets to play as UNC so they can play as themselves? And when you're playing as that, do you put yourself in the starting lineup? Like, what's the deal with that?
For sure. Yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, whether we flipped a coin or if we played a best of three, you know, you'd alternate who got to play as Carolina so you could play as yourself and your teammates. And then if it was me, obviously I subbed myself in off the bench, to, like you said, to play as myself. You know, it was just, you know, when you're a college athlete, and specifically a basketball player, because of how your schedule is, you end up being on campus a lot during breaks. So fall break, Thanksgiving break, Christmas break, spring break, you're always there and there's nobody else. So you're with no one but your teammates. So, I mean, a great way to pass time is to play a video game tournament and or play a round robin and figure out a way to kill some time because there's no class and you've already had practice and done everything you needed to do at the Smith Center. So it was definitely something we did.
So who was the best?
Who was the best gamer while I was there? Actually, I think one of our managers was the best gamer. Preston Puckett was probably the best. For sure was the best in Madden. And then we actually played a lot of Guitar Hero. So Bobby Fraser got good at that, and actually Tyler Hansbrough got pretty good at Guitar Hero too. So kind of depending on what game it was.
Well, so I guess moving to something a little more serious, it sort of, like you said, has completely changed because I don't really remember a lot of guys talking about the idea of getting paid. But I mean, a couple weeks ago, you have Marcus Paige in the middle of the Final Four saying, yeah, I think there is a place for athletes to be paid and at the college level. Do you think that's something that we're going to see, or do you think the NCAA is going to resist that as long as they can?
I would think the NCAA will resist it as long as they can and try to keep it, quote, amateur as much as they can. My personal issue with it is that the NCAA doesn't allow its athletes to participate in the free market and earn money up to their capability. So in other words, if you have someone, let's say, who's a brilliant pre-med student, more than likely they get the same free education or scholarship that everybody likes to fall back on when it comes to athletes. That's the crutch, right? They say, oh, well, the athlete gets a $200,000 education. That's what they're getting paid for. Well, so does the brilliant pre-med student, but the difference is that pre-med student can spend time in the summer doing internships, doing research, writing white papers, and earn money on their skill, on their genius, their ability. And athletes cannot. And so that, to me, is where it's not a level playing field. And it's easy to say, well, such and such player generated so much revenue for the school. Well, I witnessed that, and so did you. You know, when Tyler Hansbrough was at Carolina, he generated thousands and millions of dollars in revenue for the university. And he wasn't the guy that was hoping that he was getting paid, but the reality was that they were selling number 50 jerseys and T-shirt jerseys and programs and all kinds of things because he wore number 50, and they were selling those jerseys because it was him. And he didn't see a dime of that. So, and the reason that those jersey sales were so high and it was so popular was because of how good of a player he was. His genius as a player allowed him to be successful, and his success led people to admire him and want to wear his jersey and things like that. But he can't benefit from that in the same way that my pre-med student, as an example, can. And that's the only thing that, to me, that seems unfair. I don't think the school should pay the athletes, because where does it end, right? Because you've got Title IX, you've got non-revenue sports. I don't know how you divvy that up and make it reasonable. But I do think that athletes should be able to benefit in the free market. And if a local car dealership wants to run a commercial and put Tyler Hansbrough in it and pay him for that, why shouldn't he be able to benefit from that? Because they think that having him in a commercial is going to generate revenue for them. It's a positive thing for them, whether it's branding, whether it's it comes right to the sales bottom line, whatever it is, they think it's worth it for them to do that, and he should be able to benefit from that, but he can't.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I remember, I think I was in high school at the time, and there was, I mean, shoot, I think I still have my Tyler Hansbrough jersey. There was so many people. I mean, I grew up in Chapel Hill, so there were so many people walking around with, I mean, you name it, Ty Lawson, Wayne Ellington, all those jerseys. I mean, it just,
right,
the number.
And so who got paid when you bought that jersey? Nike got paid. The school got paid because of its licensing agreement. the retailer that you bought it from got paid for their upcharge because they paid wholesale and they sell at retail. Right? Everybody gets paid except Tyler. The reason that the jersey is being made and sold in the first place. Right? And how does that work?
Yeah, it's just a very odd system. It's sort of like looking back at it now, like it doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. I mean, just the, because there's a lot of stuff, like I get the argument of the school's not paying, but I mean, for a guy, if there's somebody who wants to give him a commercial, I mean, that doesn't, to me, doesn't seem to hurt the aspect of amateurism or any influence on, you know, his ability in the classroom or anything like that.
Completely agree. And keep going back to my example. If for some reason there was a market to do a commercial with a brilliant pre-med student, and that person, this student that we keep referring to, could go do that commercial and be compensated for it. You know, it just so happens there's not a market to put a pre-med student in a commercial necessarily, but there would be a market to put a Tyler Hansbrough or a Ty Lawson in a commercial for a restaurant or a car dealership or a retail store. There would be a market for that, and it doesn't seem American, quite frankly, to not allow that to take place.
Yeah, I mean, I could not have said that one better myself. I'm trying to think what I mean. Is this something like sort of behind closed doors as a player? You're thinking about, I mean, obviously you're focused on just being a student and being, you know, on the team and going to practice and stuff. But I mean, are these conversations that people are sort of having behind closed doors that are now sort of, once you leave the system, it's a lot easier to say, hey, you know, that might not have been the most fair.
I think it could be more and more. You know, like I said before, when I played, it wasn't at the forefront of the social media world like it is today. I mean, it feels like you can't go on Twitter today and not see something related to paying athletes, right? It's always a constant topic of conversation. Or Jay Billis is tweeting something about the unfair treatment of an athlete by the NCAA, whether it's eligibility questions or if it is based on them being able to be paid. It just wasn't at the forefront when I played. But now, you know, I went to school with a lot of guys that are smart, that are thinkers, and I think it would have been something we discussed. And I think where it really cuts hard is if the student-athlete happens to come from a difficult socioeconomic background, and if they don't have a lot of money. I mean, I played with some guys that sent most or all of their scholarship check home because their families needed the money, right? So people talk about that player is getting a free education. Well, yes, they are, and part of a scholarship is you get a stipend to live, right? To pay rent, to buy food, to buy whatever you need in your dorm room that we all had. Well, some of the guys I played with didn't even get that money. They had to send it home to their parents because their families needed it to survive. And so when that player walks around campus or walks into the arena and sees a couple thousand people with his jersey on and can't figure out why he didn't get a dime out of it, meanwhile he's sending his scholarship check home, I think that's where it gets really tough, Joey, is when those kids, those players that come from a tough background that don't have a lot of money and feel like they're missing out because the NCAA says they can't benefit from their ability, that's where it's hard to see what's fair, you know? Because then, if that type of player, and this doesn't happen at Carolina, thankfully, not while I was there and never that I've ever known of, but there certainly are places where that example of the athlete that has struggled financially his whole life, he and his family, someone approaches him, an agent, a booster, somebody, and says, hey, I'll give you such and such cash if you'll do this for me down the road. That kid now is in a really tough spot. He needs the money. His family needs the money. And then who are we to tell him that he shouldn't take it to put food on the table for his family? I mean, this issue can cut really deep when you're talking about kids that don't have a lot of money in their family. And that, to me, is part of the issue. And by the NCAA not allowing kids like that to make money on their likeness, you almost force their hand that when the shady people that invariably crop up make offers to them, they take them because they don't feel like they have a choice.
Well, so how do... how do players sort of sustain themselves in that situation where they're sending the money that they're getting to live, they're sending that home? I mean, how do they end up sort of sustaining themselves while in school?
Sure. Well, you do get a lot of meals that come from the team while you're playing. You know, if you're traveling on the road, obviously all your meals are covered. And if you've got a meal plan, you've got swipes at the dining hall. I'm just talking about sort of the ancillary cash that you get in from your scholarship check. If you have anything left over after you pay the stuff you have to pay, like your rent and stuff like that. You know, I remember my teammates, I wasn't on scholarship, but my teammates got checks, I can't remember, $1,500, $2,000 a month, and they had to pay their bills and pay for food, and, you know, if they want to go buy a pair of jeans or take a girl out to dinner, all, you know, the stuff that you and I did, Joey, in college, you know, these guys did with their scholarship checks, unless they were in a situation where they paid for what they absolutely had to pay for and they sent the rest home. And that's a real thing that's going on every team. Everybody that's on scholarship knows someone that deals with that, guaranteed.
Yeah, it's like a couple years ago when they had to change the rules because Shabazz Napier got up in front of everybody and said, I don't get three meals a day. Like, I can't afford to eat sometimes.
There you go. You know, and so the NCAA has started to see that they've got to start paying for things. Mm-hmm. For example, one thing the NCAA pays for, and then they did when I was there, is when you play your last game before Christmas and you fly home to see your family and then fly back, obviously, to start practice a couple days later, you get that 2-3 days off. The NCAA pays for those flights now for players.
Oh, dang. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah. You know, so little stuff like that behind the scenes is starting to go on because they realize that, you know, they just extended their contract with CBS and Turner for $8.8 billion to continue broadcasting the tournament. And so it's that kind of money and the licensing fees that they're collecting. They're starting to see that they've got to spend that money on the players. Mm-hmm. And so that travel example is just one thing that I know of that they cover. You know, but to your point about Shabazz Napier, I mean, there you go. There's a kid who came from a tough socioeconomic background, stood up at the height of his college career, right? He's going on to win a national championship, and he's talking about the fact that he doesn't have enough money to eat three times a day.
Yeah.
How crazy is that? For how much money did that kid generate for UConn?
I mean, just in the bonuses from being there, probably millions of dollars just on a couple games alone.
Right, and the conference too, right? I mean, we read about how much money the ACC got because of how well all the teams in our conference performed in the tournament. You know, millions and millions of dollars, right, flow through to the conference and then to the schools. Mm-hmm. You know, and people are saying, but he got a free education. Well, yeah, he did. And so does the genius pre-med kid and the Moorhead scholar at Carolina and et cetera. You know, I get it, but it's not apples to apples. It's just not.
Moving back to something a little lighter, who's going to be at the dinner?
Well, we try to get together guys I played with every August. You know, it's tough with guys in the NBA and guys that are in college coaching. There are very few weekends that sort of sync up with everybody's calendar. But a lot of the guys I play with are played with, Tyler, Bobby, Dion, Marcus, Danny, those guys. And we'll all get together hopefully this summer. And one of the guys I just mentioned is actually getting married, so we'll all get together at his wedding, so maybe it'll happen then.